All right, g'day and welcome to another edition of Comp Talk. I'm here with my very good friend and loyal co-host, if I can get that out, for the first Comp Talk of the year, Sean Gregory Cooper. How are you, my bro?
Luke Aloysius O'Connor. Good, mate. How are you?
I knew you'd fire back with the middle name sooner rather than later. I love it. I love it. Mine's quite the mouthful. Like, every time I look down at my driver's license, I'm like, who the fuck gave me that? What is going on there?
I know. I think it come up on your email or something? Because I see it somewhere. And I always think to say, fuck, why don't I call you Aloysius all the time? It's epic, mate.
Thank you. But I mean, I've got something to admit with that middle name. It took me probably to the age of like 10 or maybe even 12 into high school to realize how to spell it. I'd have to always trick myself into saying it was Alloy, so A-L-O-Y, and then I-U-S at the end, Aloysius. I'm pretty sure. I think I've even misspelled it then. But like,
did you ever get teased like at school for that name? Like, did it ever come out? Was it public that was your middle name, or it was never, like, no one knew?
Bro, people didn't even need to go to my middle name because I was a fat little blubber ball wearing Hawaiian shirts to like year 10 formals and shit. Like, bro, I was the kid in Adam Sandler like movies that you would just take the piss out of, and usually have the baseball end up in my crutch, and I was down on the ground fucking with cunts throwing hot dogs at me. Like, that was me. I only kind of evolved into myself in the later stage of high school, and when I dropped the braces, I dropped the puppy fat, which my mum said the puppy fat. It was seriously 15 to 20 kilos of overweight. And then, like, I finally kind of found myself with bodyboarding and exercising. And, yeah, I mean, dude, I didn't need the middle name, but, like, yeah,
I'm still waiting for those photos. You promised me those photos in 2022, and now it's 2024. I still haven't fucking seen them. And I think some nights I think I just want to see this fucking photo, like, of the chubby Luke O'Connor. I can't picture it, mate.
It's like short back and size. It's like it's a real Oxford looking Irish haircut. You know what I mean? Like, full Catholic schoolboy, semi private. Tubby as, overfed, overprivileged, white fuckwit in the Shire. And that was pretty much me, eh? And then I definitely had the rat bag side. I was always a smart ass and always getting in trouble. But until I kind of started taking my own course in life, the fat definitely stayed. So, yeah, I'm glad I'm out of those stages, Cooper.
Oh, mate. Kids can be cruel, mate. It's as simple as that.
Oh, mate, I'm telling you now, I still remember the bullies back in primary school. I'll never let them go. Never. Bro, but let's get back to comp talk and not about my waist size. Yeah. Dude, we've got some really good things to chat about here in the Australian bodyboarding scene, and we've got to start off with the development and the spawning, the inaugural year of the Cold Coast Bodyboarding Club, led by none other than Sean Gregory Cooper, mate. What is happening in the background?
And a lot of co-anchors as well, but I need to add in. But, yeah, man, super pumped. We've got like a startup, you could say, because it's quite intimidating to be around all the other clubs that are still going. A lot of it, you know, some do drop off, but a lot have been going for a long, long time. I think Emerald's the longest. Am I right?
Yep. I'm pretty sure it is. It was, what, 1986, was it, or 84?
That's insane, man.
Pretty sure. I mean, I'd have to fact check that, but yeah, definitely the longest. And I think it's the longest retail store in the world also by
my is it?
Yep.
That's so cool. Like, I mean, to start a new bodyboard club, sick for us. We haven't had one in the area for a long time. The last one was, well, there's been one in Wollongong and South, which is, I believe it's not happening at the moment. But in our area, in the Cold Coast, it's the last time there was one was Surf Dive and Ski Bodyboard Club, which I actually ran the last year. And then I couldn't run it anymore, and then no one else wanted to do it, basically. But that was a good club. And I, you know, with you guys doing the Island Comp. We talk all the time. We work together. It was a bit of an inspiration, mate, to do something. It was something we always wanted to do. You and I always talked about it. And to help the kids in the area and see more kids in the water, that's the goal from us. And it's exciting, man. We got some cool names, male and female. We're not starting till the 7th of April, so if anyone wants to jump on, they can. We've got some cool sponsors. Idris Weiss, my great mate, he's a sponsorship guru. That's his job. And he got three major sponsors for the club, which is amazing. And yeah, like we're getting ready, which leads me to Australian bodyboarding clubs in Australia, because I don't know if you watched the board riders battle on the weekend, but that was for the surfing.
I did.
Fucking amazing, mate.
That concept and that format and the way it's laid out and the team effort brought to essentially like a solo individualistic sport like bodyboarding or surfing, it's mind-boggling. You can tell that it's catching fire, not just along the east coast of Australia, throughout Australia and throughout the world, man. Like a lot of countries are doing it now, and I think I know where you're going with this.
Yeah, like, I mean, the thing with clubs and bodyboarding, it's all, or surfing as well, it's all about the people that are helping and the community. So the only negative I see sometimes is things go for so long and people lose interest, and the hardest thing is to keep people interested and get new members if you replace the old, you know what I mean? And make it so people want to actually turn up. That's been the funnest part about this club, is because we're brand new, so it's all fresh, and you got that amazing vibe, you know? Like, it's like, oh, this is going to be fun. And we got this new, that we're using the program that most of the clubs use. It's called Live Heats. So you just do it all on your phone. You sign up. You can check your scores afterwards. You can check your mate's score. It's so much better than when I was a kid, because it was all on paper and it was like, oh, when's the next comp? And you get a letter in the mail and this, that, and the other. And now it's just kind of easy, you know, in a way. But hands on deck on the day, that's going to be a different story. But maybe ask me about that after the first comp.
And the first comp's on the 7th of April, hey?
7th of April, down in the Cold Coast area. Probably, I mean, if there's an east swell, we'll be pushing to have the first comp at Headlands, because that's our primary location. But you know,
it's got quality bowls, it's got like an epic hill and a great parking lot there for everyone to cruise in, and good facilities and whatnot. Man, I've got to give you a shout out to the whole system you guys are running, just to go back on the points you were touching on earlier, Coops. Like, you know, yourself, Itty, Chris, everyone in the background at Cold Coast Bodyboarding Club, like the digitization of your registration, your signups, you get the $100 stealth voucher on signup. So you pretty much have your registration paid for in goods. They're going to go back in the bodyboarding industry, which is a win-win for everyone involved. And you're getting the team mentality back of like a group of core booging frothers from all ages and all genders coming down and having a time of it in such a wave-rich area. Like, we're only talking off air beforehand, man. Like, you guys have so many sick beaches and so many sick little reefs that work in so many different conditions that you'll have a smorgasbord of competitive arenas to choose from on any given swell. Like, I know Wollongong doesn't do so well in South Swells, but you guys are a little bit further up, closer to the, you know, in that Cold Coast, closer to the Sydney Basin, and you guys definitely pick up just every angle, and you got so many waves to choose from. I'm so bloody jealous. Like, coming from a Cronulla point of view, you know, really when you look at the spots that we can have them at, you've got heavily regulated surfing zones that, you know, you have them at the point. Firstly, the wave at the point is a terrible place for bodyboarding in general. Out the island, it's not the best place for groms to continue to progress their skill set. And then our beaches are just horseshit. Like, I'd rather slap fucking shit on a wall and watch it dry, you know what I mean? And then you go out to the reefs out on like the northern end there, and obviously you've got waves to choose from, but logistically, how are you getting there and setting up, except if it's suck rock, because you can kind of get from the car park quite easily, but you guys can just, you got 10 zones to pick off, I can think in my head right away before you even have to go searching.
Yeah, we've got a little robot block on that one. I thought I had quite a number of places approved from the council. And the other day I got an email and it wasn't the case of the backup venues. And I'm like, excuse me? Like,
really?
Yeah, this just happened. And then she's like, no, you never mentioned any of those places. And then I go, yeah, I did in the application. And then she writes back, oh, yeah, that was in the last page of your application. Oh, no, you've got too many. And I'm like, oh, what? This was like 2 months ago I did this. So anyway, we've got to cut it down. That's between me and the council at the moment, but I've got to sort that out. It'll be fine. I've been talking to my mate Deck, and he's the one that surfs the area the most out of everyone. And we've kind of narrowed it down to the best spots that as bodyboarders we're going to need in throughout the year with the conditions that get thrown. Because, I mean, a small, tiny south swell is not going to be great in anywhere north of the Gong until you get to Stanwell Park.
What about possibly around the Coldale region? Could that possibly give you something?
Yeah, it depends how big it is. Like, if it's small, it's a struggle, man.
Yeah.
But look, every single club would go through the same thing. But if there's something on offer, we'll be fine. I'm a runner. Like, it's like, let's go. Idris and I always talk about this contest called the Care Flight Classic. It was years ago, the late Tyson Williams one. And they called that comp off for 2 hours because it stopped breaking on the high tide. And it was a big contest with surfers and everything. And they called it off, mate. And they said, come back in 2 hours and then we'll start again. Because it's like, we're a contest. You got to surf. Let's go. And that's my – I know you don't want to have every comp with bad waves, but at the same time, you got to run. Like, you can't just keep saying, oh, nah, call it off, and then people just lose interest. Don't you reckon?
Definitely, man. And you only got to look back to, say, the WSL or the was it the – what was the old comp called? What was the acronym for the old comp or the old format? ASP?
Oh, ASP, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, ASP. Yeah. And I remember some of the old school surfers just speaking about their experience there. I remember Slater, even in an interview with him, talking about, like, you would turn up, and if they had 5 days to run of so many heats or whatever, you would, and just almost like a QS, you would be surfing in rain, hail, or shine in 1 foot slop or 10 foot closeouts. You know what I mean? Like, it was go. And I guess, yeah, it's a good mantra to put in place because, you know, you got to deal with all conditions. The best bodyboarder on the day wins. And, you know, obviously, like, it comes to a stage with the Groms and the Cadets and other divisions, you'd want to make sure that they're safe. But at the same time, like, get them out there, get them a rashie on and start cooking the fucking barbecue. You know, I want a snack.
Yeah, for sure, man. We'll have Brendo on the beach. He's going to teach the micro Groms. So him and Emma Cobb, the former number two in the world in the women's division, she's going to be there for the girls and the boys. Hopefully helping out when she can. She's a shift worker, but she's frothing to be on board. We've got a women's division. Brendo's in the micro groms, telling all the, like, gene up all the grommets. Let's go, boys. Get out there.
Wow, he's the one to bring the froth on that sort of stuff. That's epic.
Oh, mate, for sure. We'll have Corey Oliver from Bondo Rescue out the back, making sure they don't get sucked out. Like, it'll be like a net, a human net. fucking... Alex Bunting from Tamarama joined. He was the first person to join when the registration went up. The king himself.
One of the best dow boards in the business, the unknown Bunting. Yeah. I think we spoke about before, nice. But I'm sure Tig still got a couple hidden in his fucking garage. He loves dow that much. They were the best, eh? Like, they stood the test of time. I remember when Endless, Johnny Pine, opened up a shop in Kirrawee for his son, Sean, and those were the, I guess, the rival club days within Cronulla, because you had Endless kind of coming up and you had like Bunting and Brendo and Matic and all that working in the store. And then, yeah, those Buntings, those unknown Buntings, it was the Midnight Blue, had like the white slick tailpiece. They were psycho boards. And when you watch Bunting and go back on some of his sections, like in Leroy and Dennis, fuck, man, he went hard in big waves. There was even suck rock sessions of him there. Like, he had a great air game, smooth rail game. Like, he's a great bodyboarder. That's so good to have him there.
No, 100%, man. It's so exciting to see the buzz, and hopefully it just keeps buzzing, mate. I don't know what to expect, to be honest, but I want to say thank you to from our community, everyone that's joined, everyone that's helping. A massive thank you to the sponsors, because as a startup, you can't start something with no money, because it's impossible. Like, it's cost a lot of money to start it. That's React Facilities and Maintenance. That's the name of the business. The owner of that business used to surf in Beach Street Contest down in Kiama. And that was a massive club back in the day, which is cool. Franco's Pizza and Bar in Thurl, who is a bodyboarder as well from Tamarama. And he's one of the funniest guys you'll ever meet. And he makes the best pizzas. And Stealth, mate, they're just killing it. Like, to have a bodyboard sponsor has been so amazing. And you basically get your money back on registration. Like you said, it's so humbling to even offer that to people. We're very lucky, man. And I hope that it continues on to be a successful thing, even though it hasn't started. But let's go, because Luke's going to be there. I don't know that. Luke Aloysius.
Oh, man, I'm so keen to come down with the van. I was only thinking about what Bunting said about bringing the fam down. I can't wait to just bring Lozzie and Lenny and probably the new bub come June, July, and, like, just roll down, set up for the day, and enjoy the fruits of the Gold Coast, man. Like, it'll be so good. It's as what we were just speaking about before, it's that community vibe. It's what we've been kind of missing in Boogan over the last 5 or so years, when everything's kind of gone down the gurgle, so to speak, and you don't want to harp on about it, but you know making a difference through these grassroots beginnings are the way forward, man. Once you've got like a platform to boost off at like a local level, you go regional and you go state, and then you go national and go international. Like, it's epic. And you don't know where the club's going to go, Coops. Like, it's not like it's just, you know, you just a couple of mates going down the beach, throwing some rashies on and going back to the pub and sinking 20 schooners. It's like, it could really spawn some epic talent and get bodyboarding back into young Grom's mind, you know, like thinking it is a sport. Yep. Like, I watch surfing, you watch what Surf New South Wales does here in the state of New South Wales, and you know, Surfing Vic and Surfing Queensland. Like, they got systems upon systems that feed these young Groms all the way up from like 5 or 6 in Woolworth Grom comps, like up to what Jarvis Earls is now doing from the Cronulla region, man. Like, just ripping and tearing in QSs, got invited to the WSL and surfed in the Margaret River Pro and all that sort of shit. And I'm using surfing as an example at the moment, because it is, you know, what I guess the matrix, the setup we need to kind of copy. But, you know, it's so doable, and these comps are the beginning of it.
For sure. So to touch on that in bodyboarding, a big shout out to Paul Vanderboom from Coffs Harbour. He's been really helpful. He's like the man to go to when you want to find something out about the clubs and Australian bodyboarding in general. And I actually said to him, what events are coming up? Like, is there a calendar and a club directory? And he whipped up a website so anyone can go and check it out. It's called bodyboardclubs.au. And that's just a little website. And it just, you can go on there and just check out the clubs in your area, if there is one, and the closest one to you, so you can, you know, find it and go and join it. And then you can also see the event calendar, because there's a lot going on.
Yeah, he's even color-coded it too.
I know. It's epic. Like, because I always used to struggle. When you're not in a club, you're always like, oh, I never even heard about that. And that is the problem when you're not in a club, because that's where the club generally advertises the other things for you. But for people that aren't in one, you can look up there on the on this website, and you can see the comps in Australia this year, which is starting off with the Box Fest. That's coming up very, very soon, in not this weekend, but the next year.
Yeah, well, and also just to recap on it, man, I remember listening to a closeout potty with the fellows down there in Vic, and they spoke about the success of the Victorian state titles, and they got pretty much pumping waves the whole day. They had this amazing rip bowl to surf. You could tell that the froth was there, and they were pretty cooked the day after, because they'd spent 12 or 10 hours just, you know, in the elements, lapping up the ocean in all its glory. And then I only saw on Instagram as of this weekend, the 8th of March, we had the WA Bodyboarding Championships over there, and it was at Gas Bay. And fuck, again, like from the photo and footage I saw, looked at a tad sideshore, but heaps of opportunities on the right, a couple of lefts, and a few crew there too, which is really cool to see. Yeah. And mentioning going to the Box Fest, and then you got the Vic State titles at round two, in kind of later March. Jeff Wilcox Memorial, man, in May, which we all know is like a time-honoured comp up in the Foster region. I can just remember Dave Winnie Winchester winning that on so many occasions of bringing home the check back to his family, still showing that he's a pro bodyboarder with a real fucking sharp eye for competition. And then, yeah, the Shark Island Challenge, we're kicking off our waiting period on the 23rd of May, looking to run for 6 weeks there and possibly eight if we don't get a swell into the middle of July. Queensland State titles, Teams Challenge is what we were just talking about beforehand with surfing, and obviously that's been running up at Port Mac for so long and for so many years, which is Breakwall is a great amphitheatre to hold that competition. And, man, you know, like, if I don't know if everyone knows out there, but the Port Macquarie Bodyboarding Club has got a rich, deep, seated history of competitive flair, so to speak. Because, I mean, like, I remember Sammy Strachan, Azza Glossop, Sean Peterson went up last year to do the state, or the year before, to do the team challenge, sorry. And, man, we got stories back that, like, team captain for Port Macquarie, Shaden Strader, had taken out the team of Charlie Holt, Jones Russell, Chase O'Leary. I'm missing a couple of names there, but, like, they all got taken out a weekend before that team challenge going down. Shaden Strader got them all together in a huddle at the pub after probably, you know, six or eight schooners deep, and just looked into their eyes and said, "Do you fucking want it, cunts? Like, do you want it? Because we need to crush these motherfuckers, and we're going to crush them good because they're on our home turf." And he G'd them up so hard. Mind you, I'm pretty sure he slipped them a couple of stimulants, a little bit of MDMA, and they all got together and bonded real fucking good that night. But, mate, like, the proof's in the pudding, because they came home strong and they won. And then you had fucking Damien King doing live performances at the local pub after on his guitar, and you had Sam Shacken up there doing a duet with him and shit. Like, it was bringing people together. So, yeah, it's looking at this whole schedule, man, it's so wild. Like, I haven't mentioned all of it there, but there's so many things going on, as you said, that you just don't really know about until you look on this website.
Yeah, you've got to check it out, because if you want to get involved, you need to know when it's coming, and you just got to book a fucking ticket and get into it. That I'm pretty sure Kingy was in the team.
He was. That's one I missed out, and there was someone else too, but and not by a choice am I missing these people out, just by lack of brain cells and I'm not remembering, but. Yeah, they had a star-studded fucking lineup, man. Like, really, all of them are either pro bodyboarders currently or, you know, pro. I mean, how could you describe pro bodyboarding at the moment? Could you call them pro bodyboarders? You call them, like, really good. Like, you know what I mean? Like, free surf. Like, it's so hard to kind of coin that phrase.
Well, let's keep it at pro. It sounds good if you say pro.
Yeah. So, their level's definitely pros. Pro.
Yeah. It's just in a bit of a slump. As bodyboarding goes in waves, pun intended. It goes up and down.
It does, man. It's exactly like the crypto market. It's exactly like a bull rush compared to a what do they fucking use the term for dropping in cryptocurrency? It's a bad analogy, but yeah, we're in one of those fucking waves that just goes up and down, much like a swell, much like your workflow, much like your erection.
Like anything in life, mate.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. But like, you know, did you ever go on a team challenge?
Yeah. I went on a team challenge. Oh God. Maybe when I was like, that was actually nationals at Port Mac. That was when I was 17. I don't know if I have been on a team challenge. Huh? No, I think I've been always unavailable or just not selected because of my lack of talent. Coops, have you been on one?
Well, it sounds like there's a bit of little bit political there in Cronulla. Yeah,
might a little bit of water under the bridge there. It's still flowing.
What's going on there, mate? But no, I represented Cronulla when I surfed it many, many moons ago, and I did a few, and we won one year. But we had a fucking hell team, man. We had the king himself, Lester. Everyone had to bow to him when we got out of the bus. We had all the old school guys, like Ringer was there, Ben Hall, Alex Leon, a couple of old school guys. We won, and we weren't supposed to win, man. So that's the best thing about the team challenge, because like if you just have a stellar run, there's no better thing to win than the team's event. All right.
Yeah, and I think you're underselling the story there a bit, mate. That they had the laser-eyed, focused, fucking competitive freak himself, Sean Cooper, just fucking, you know, tallying up the points, getting the strategy in place. Like we all need to tap back into your South Cronulla Pro win. You know what I mean? Like, can we just go back over that and the inverts?
No, we don't need to go back over that one. That was too long ago. But I will remind you every time we walk past South Cronulla that I did win a contest in South Cronulla, just to let you know. But
mate, place gets good. Place pumps. Okay, let's put it this way. Michael Osler trained there for months at a time leading into his Box Fest win in 2022. So, proof to the pudding there, my friend.
I reckon it's because when we went to that, we went to the Christmas party, we walked past and I said to Osler, I won a contest there, and I reckon he just got under his skin and said, fuck this, I've got to be the king of fucking South, he's not Coops. And then he just went for it. Like,
you wouldn't be far off there, I don't reckon. That bloke is a savage when it comes to competition. I reckon watching him in the Island Challenges this year is going to be very, very entertaining, because I can tell already from just a couple of sessions out there with him recently, we've had a couple of fun days, had a really nice South East swell last week, and then South East, and then had a couple of fun East left days this week. And man, like there's no better competitor than, you know, like a Springbok backed into the corner with his fucking hooves just ready to stampede over any cunt who gets in his way. And that is what Michael also is. He's a coiled up fucking taipan, man. And like, I'm sure he's going to make his presence felt. Like, everyone might not realize this, but he's been living here for a fair amount of time now, and he is definitely starting to read the island and surf it how it should be surfed. So like, it's going to be, I'm putting a little bit of money on him for the dark horse, eh?
Yeah, well, he's got that pure natural talent as well. So if you're competitive and you've got natural talent, I'm putting my money on him, mate. It's just simple. He's my number one.
I'm pretty sure Sads, talking about putting money on it, Sads, Mark Sadler, shout out to Mark, Marcus Sadler, one of the main guys on the committee with myself and Sam Van. He has already G'd up with one of his good friends, Rami, to get a betting agency behind this. And I'm pretty sure, I'm not going to say the name of the betting agency at the moment, but we're in early talks with a market being drawn up. And, yeah, I am loading up on Osler, like for sure.
Fuck yeah.
And you could get some crazy odds, man. Crazy odds.
Oh, for sure. I noticed today that you had a new entrant from Europe.
Yeah, we're very excited to have Pierre Luis Costes come on board. You know, we've been speaking to him.
Fucking amazing, mate. That is amazing.
So pumped. I'm so pumped that he wanted to be involved. Like, we were speaking to him on and off through the lead up to the announcement of the waiting period, but obviously with his IBC commitments, he didn't want to step on anyone's toes. But then there's been a change in the calendar for the IBC, and there is a window there that he can make. You know, if the comp does run in certain times, that waiting period, he might not be able to be there. But for the majority of the waiting period at the moment, it seems like he can make it, and the spot's always there for him. And especially, you know, with his recent signing with Moray, like the legacy brand of bodyboarding for over 50 years, you've got him being like the pinnacle of bodyboarding, free surf, like free booging, and in the last 5 years, most certainly at the top of the competitive scene too, especially with his stashes with Tanner. Like, he's the all-round package, and he lives and breathes it. Hey, he's such a pleasure to have on the athlete lineup list for the 2024 Bodyboard Kingdom Shark Island Challenge.
And who else we got? We got Tanner, yeah?
Yes, we definitely got Tanner. We got Jacob Romero. We've announced. I'm not going to say the people that we haven't announced just yet because I want to.
Yeah, that's all right.
Keep that up our back pocket.
Who have you announced?
So we've announced, like, so far. We've got Tanner McDaniel. We've got Louis Finnegan, Oyster Farmer, and all round legend Jace Finlay. We all know what he can do on a bodyboard. Jacob Romero, super keen to come back out, which is epic because, you know, back in, over a decade ago now, or maybe even a little bit earlier, 8 years. He did a couple of years out here in a row, staying at Desi's house. And the stuff he did at the island was incredible. Some of the backflips, air versus the inverts he did over Surge were legendary. We got
if you follow his Instagram, it's like he hasn't aged. Like, he surfs the same as he used to. And I mean, that's saying something because none of us are getting any younger. So he fucking sends it, eh?
Oh, mate, he's got spring in his step, eh? He must be having that good island on good life on the islands, bruh. Just so nice and cruisy, coconuts, just mahalo and shack and everything. Steph Cockerellis, I can never say his last name, bruh. Fucking hell. Can you help me out with that?
Steffi K.
Steffi K. We're going to say Steffi K.
What do you call him? Special K.
Special K is stepping up from Portugal. He would have to be one of the most exciting boogs going around at the moment, with just being so young, putting so much time in Australia in the last, like, 8 or 9 months. You know, he's been here for a fair while, and he's lit up the East Coast like no tomorrow. Like, everyone who's surfed with him all the way from, you know, up far north New South Wales down to the depths of the South Coast has just said that he's a talent to be admired and respected. So we're stoked to have him. As you mentioned before, the king of the team's challenge and the king of the island, it's his king of the pocket surfing. Andrew Lester has put his hand up to be in the challenge again, which is all time because we all know what he can do out there. He's a past winner too, so giddy up to that.
That's good though because it'll make him ride a boog too because he loves his surfing and he's a very, very good surfer. But it'll make him boog, you know? Like,
yeah, because force him to lay down.
Yeah, just to get some practice in. So that'll be sick, mate.
Oh, man, we've already seen him around the
spot. He's one of those natural talents that honestly, like, they just get back on. It's like they never left. Like, him and Winnie and, like, my best mate, Iggy. They just get on the board. They never ride it. And then they're like, oh, yeah, just got the wave of the day again. Oops. Like,
I think, too, it comes down to the really good energy they project out. Like, he's got a knack of always getting some of the best ones in the session. And I think that is just because he's in tune with the ocean, he's got good energy, good flow, and he's a nice fella, and you don't see him really losing his cool that often. So it's great to have him in, man. As I said, Michael Oslar has been announced. Epic to have Rat in there. You know, he's got a long history with slabs, and especially watching him in his early days in Hawaii Pipeline, man. Like, he got some bombs out there and knows how to scoop heavy pits, especially with a left-hand bombie down here in New South Wales. He's also showed his mantle and his big steely daddy balls. So that's pretty sick. We've announced Jack Baker, local hero and Rev Dog Auto Mechanic. He's a psycho out there. He reads the place really well. Like, you know, take all jokes aside, like, Jack really does read the island really well. He sits in the right positions, gets the right ones, and you can only tell on that last swell how good of a wave he got out there, man. You know, he probably got the wave of the session. So he's in there with a shot.
Well, it's probably the wave of the year, really.
For sure. For sure.
Closely second by Sadler.
Yeah. The pump dies up too much, but yeah, definitely he got an epic one too. That was such a nice watch, Sadler's one. And then we're stoked to have Lily Pollard in there, man. Like, she's so good that she ended up. Yeah, she was super keen. We got to announce it on International Women's Day, which we were so happy to join in on the celebration there and you know, recognize Lily for what she's done in a lot of big waves, man. Like, there's been not many, there's been a lot of really good female bodyboarders, and they've all had a dig in some serious situations, but not just as so dedicated as Lily is. Like, she'll paddle out Cape, she'll paddle out the island, she'll paddle out your wave down in the Gong. Like, she'll paddle out a lot of heavy slabs, like the zone up in the Central Coast. I can remember when she was dating Brad Jackson back in the day. Like, there was a lot of waves, and still is a lot of waves that she charges on a regular basis. So I think she's really earned a spot in the lineup. And then Pierre was announced today, and more to come. But
there's a couple of good ones too. I'd love to say them, but no, we're not going to say it.
I know.
So,
but
that's
exciting.
You got to keep a watch out. Bodyboard King is the main sponsor. That's amazing, man. Fucking big toes. Isn't dropping it down.
Mate, he's put his hand up and put his hand in his pocket where it counts, and has pretty much got this comp back off the ground, man. Like, really, like, I know me, Sads and Sam have been working tirelessly in the background trying to get everything going on. It's really good the team we have, because you know, we all bring different things to the table, and we all know our roles and our parts in the actual committee. But when you've got a major sponsor like Toby, who's got so many connections in the industry, he's got so much pull, he's so easygoing, is happy to give us the reins, but then also be there when we need him. You know, he's got one of the best online retail stores in the world. You know, he's just a successful bodyboarder, and he's got an illustrious career before him where he's surfed at the peak of bodyboarding in the golden days with his brother Ben. He's one of the most noted bodyboarders in the world, and it's so fitting to have him back at the mantle at one of the most heaviest and revered waves in the world, you know, for the 2024 Shark Island Challenge. Like, it couldn't be it's pretty much a match made in heaven, man. It couldn't be more perfect.
For sure. Like, I mean, It's basically like the Shark Island Challenge is very similar to the Cold Coast Bodyboard Club. Yours is just way bigger. But a startup is a startup, and you can't start anything without money. And to have support, especially from bodyboarding itself, that's incredible. And it shows, I think he's a smart man, because he's putting his money into something that means a lot to him and has meant a lot to his career. And I think that kind of goes to show how big the contest is going to be, because all eyes are going to be on that contest, in my opinion, because it's been so long and everyone wants it, and fucking everyone's going to get it, mate. Let's go. Can't wait.
Everyone's going to get it, mate. Let's fucking go. Oh, that has to be the slogan. That's amazing.
Yeah, man. And so just explain it, though. So you've got 6 weeks, potentially eight, and it's basically all of June, yeah?
Yeah, so starting the 23rd of May, we've got 23rd of May, we've got the launch night. So the launch party, we've got it locked in at a quaint little bar called Croydon Lane in Cronulla. Such a sick little location. It's just up from Northies there at the start of the mall. So anyone who's wanting to come down and have a yarn, definitely roll on in. I mean, it is like a semi-private event. It will be catered for a certain amount of people, but, you know, we'd love to have you know, some people pop in, get some hype going, and just get involved with the reinstatement of the comp. So we're going to have the heat draw held there that night. We're going to have some of Dangerous Ales, Dangerous Ales beers there. So Damo Martin's put up heaps of cases. He's sending up from Milton there, all of his craft beer that he brews himself down there in the beautiful South Coast. So that's going to be epic to have him on board. And we'll have, you know, a fair few riders there. We're looking to have some celebrities, some footy players. Like, we've got a couple of really good connections through Chucky and Alex Leon, which he's also been a huge backbone in the comp, helping out and giving advice whenever he can, which has been great. And so from the 23rd of May, the waiting period starts. And then we kind of roll on through. We've got some really good tides for the last week of May. So from the 23rd all the way up to the 29th or 30th, it looks really good. It goes a little bit quieter at the start of June, where there's not as many opportunities. Still opportunities, but not exactly what we would have wanted, which, you know, you just kind of got to cop, because you can't always have those really big, perfectly positioned tides. And then coming into the kind of mid part of June into the end of June, we've definitely got some romper tides and some really good periods that, you know, will really help. Because, like, essentially you've got 25 competitors, and you need minimum 6 to 7 hours really to run that comp, depending on exactly how we're gonna line up the heats and the numbers in them. So it's one of those things that if you get a Mac in swell during that period and you've only got a high tide of, say, 1.3, it's going to be great viewing, but it's also going to be and it's going to be a spectacle, but it's not going to be the most high performance bodyboarding that you really want to see, because the island, traditionally, anywhere over 0.9 to a meter, you start to get a lot more energy flowing over the island properly. You don't get those parts of white rock and surge sticking up that makes the wave pretty much unmakeable. If you're good enough past the 0.9 meter to a meter mark, you can draw a line and navigate yourself through a real stepped out tube. It's not going to be perfect, but you definitely can. And then if you're getting up to the 1.5, 1.6 meter marks on the high tides, then it's going to give you enough time either side of that tide, that high tide mark, to run all the heats that you need. So yeah, we're stoked. We've got Alex Leon and we've got Terry McKenna, the fucking golden tonsils himself, turning up for the live broadcast, and they'll be out on the boat that's been organised for the channel. We'll have our judges up on the headland there. There's the request of Craig Haddon, which is epic. He's leading the charge there, and I know that he's got he's got a lot of experience judging national, international comps, and has been involved in the Shark Island Challenge before, so it's great to have him on there. And we're going to be all systems go. And if anyone's listening to this and you want to come down to the comp, Jesus Christ, just turn up. You'll have ample seating up on the Esplanade. There'll be different activations going on up there. You'll have different you'll be seeing all different sorts of people, and there'll be sponsors walking around. There'll be free stuff getting handed out, and there'll just be a really good after party. And not to mention, if you want to paddle out in the channel, get out there on any sort of craft, bring up boats, jet skis, whatever, obviously within an orderly fashion. We don't want to be going too ham there and crowding the whole place with, like, a, you know, fucking Sydney to Hobart race. But at the same time, like, you know, please come up and make yourself known and just enjoy the day. Because the reason Mark, Sam, and myself have been putting this on and we want to put it back on is because we remember when we were Groms, the froth you got when the big boys came to town and there was a buzz in Cronulla of an international bodyboarding event going down, and you were just immersed in it. You were watching, and, you know, everyone knows this and I don't need to harp on about it and I sound arrogant saying it, but Cronulla does have some of the best waves in the world when they're on. And if you get the right swell and the right conditions with those sort of riders, like the talent pool we have this year, just only, you know, talking about those first 8 or 9 competitors we've announced, man, like it's going to go deeper and deeper. And you mix that with quality waves and a good La Nina winter that's coming up by all reports. Let's fucking go, baby. Like, there's going to be energy. There's going to be good times. And we just wanted to be a big party and have like a really good time and bring some fun back to the sport where, you know, it's not deciding a world champion, but it's deciding a Shark Island champion. And it's just one of those things that is really.
What would you rather be?
Oh, it's a tough one, man. Like, I know that's bit, probably it's a little bit biased coming from my position, but I'm going to say Shark Island Challenge champion.
Fuck
it, I think it's one of those waves that demands so much from you, man. I'm not saying the waves on the World Tour at the moment don't. There's two or three on there that are fucking heavy. Maybe only two at the moment. The third one's been taken off, but yeah,
we can talk about that. But yeah, just sticking to the Shark Island Challenge for a second. I've got a couple of questions for you, but. The first one isn't a question, but I used to go and sit in the channel, man, on a board, and it's fucking so sick. Just watching your favorite riders. I went and did it to see Stuart when he was here. This was might have been around 2010 or 11, and I sat there and waited for Stuart to paddle out, and it was like I'll just still never forget it. It's the best place to watch it. But then again, being up on the hill is pretty sick too. So it's the best, sickest comp, mate. Can't wait.
Especially when you're watching the lines rolling through two coops, you know, man? Like when you see the energy stacked up and you've got like four or five in a row and like all the other way, even like the points breaking around, the patches breaking there, you got people in carnage and all that sort of stuff. It's such a spectacle.
Oh, for sure. Couple of questions. The heat format, is that set in stone yet or not? On how it's going to run. You've got 25 people in the comp, so they're five-man heats in the first round. Have you thought about the rest, or is that not talked about? Or
No, we definitely have, and I'm 99% sure this is how it's going to run. We're just going to have a final meeting with Craig Haddon. I know Sadler's been talking to him a fair bit and exactly how it's going to run, but currently with 25 competitors, it'd be five-man heats and then two four-man finals and then a
two 5-man semis and then a 4-man final.
Yeah, sorry, that's what I meant. Yeah, 2 5-man semis and then a 4-man final. So it's 8 heats in general, in total. So, and you'd be looking to have like 40-minute heats. So, you're looking at, what's that in my head? 5, 8 times 40. Bad at maths, but that's like 320 minutes. So, yeah, you're looking at like, say, 6.5 hours.
Yeah, look, now, you know, the general, in a normal contest, you have a 5-man heat and 50% of the riders need to get through. In the Shark Island Challenge, that's not going to happen for fucking obvious reasons because of the tides. You can't run the comp for 12 hours. So you've got to compromise. So you've got 5-man heats. 2 will go through instead of 3. And you've got a contest. You'll have a winner at the end of the day. It's epic, man.
And we will not announce the winner at the comp site. Sorry, we'll be waiting for the after party, which will be held at Kernell Wreckers Club. And let me tell you, it is a place where you can just do whatever you like. Like the owner out there is an absolute legend. He's put a serious amount of money behind us to go out there and really get on the source and have a good time and celebrate a great comp. So if anyone wants to come out after. Kernell's only just in a 5-minute or 6 or 7 minute kind of car ride out from Cronulla out to the peninsula there. And it'll be on. Sam Venn lives out there. So if worse comes worse, we can all just go back to his house and crash. He won't mind that. I haven't asked him that yet, but you know, I'm just putting it out there on a podcast. Fuck it, Sammy. You're having everyone over after and let's go.
That's sick. The wild cards. So that's up on the Ripped. You can submit that now. Is that right? Like when does that close? That's what I want to know.
That closes on the you're testing my brain here, Coops. I'm pretty sure entries close on the 8th of May. It's either the 3rd or the 8th. I can double check that on Rippies. But it's in early May, and then we've got a week of 5 finalists who are announced, and they're viewed up on the Riptide page, the homepage there.
How many get through?
2. So 2 out of the 5 will go through, almost like a Shark Island heat.
Sick. That's awesome, man. That's such a good idea. I'm excited to see what people are going to put together.
For sure. We've already got, as this potty goes, we've got 12 entries so far, just seeing the spreadsheets updated from Elliot Williams, our man in the Riptide HQ. He's been crunching all the numbers, and it's a bit of a slow feed to get it up on the website just because there's a lot of moving parts in the background, but that's slowly coming up, and we've still got heaps of time. So anyone listening to this podcast just wants to put together three waves, one being a stoink of a barrel, one being a lofty air, and another one just to impress us, whatever you like. Put it together with some music, save up your best clips, and let the best man or female win.
Awesome. Last question, and it's like, this isn't going to happen, so I already know that, but it's always nice to talk about everything. You're getting towards the end, and we're looking at the swells. Like, what are you going to do? Like, you get.
I think we're just going to have to call it, and we're just going to go. We're just going to hire out the Sydney Urban Surf wave pool, put it on triple beast mode, and just say, "Fuck it, let's run a comp."
Good answer. Good answer. I love it.
We've already got a contingency plan in place, Coops. If the worst does come to the worst, and comes to fruition, which we really hope it
which
doesn't.
Which it won't.
Yeah, all fingers and toes crossed, Huey's going to play ball, and we really think it will this year because we've been a little bit wave-starved of late here in the Shire when it comes to the island. Cape's had a lot of good moments, but the island not so much. But, if that does come to fruition and we've got to pull the pin, all that sponsorship and all those sort of athlete commitments, if they can still make it, transferred over to next year, and we just roll into 2025 bigger and better than ever.
Won't happen, mate. It's happening. We're fucking running this contest 100%.
It's going to be sick. I guess, really, like, Sads, Sam and myself have spoken, like, we can't have anything below 6 foot. Like, if it was heavy 4 to 6 foot, then, yeah, we'd definitely consider it with a good tide window, but it's got to be 6 foot and over, and it's got to be waves of consequence, because other than that, you're kind of just looking at you've surfed the island a bit, man. When it's like 4 foot and south, it's fun, and there's definitely good barrels and bowls to be had out there, but it's not a spectacle, and we need to make it a spectacle.
Yeah, well, you just got to walk that path, see what happens, see what you get given, and then it's gonna happen. It's happening. It's the juju. I'm telling you, I've told you this before. Yeah. It hasn't happened in a while. It hasn't broken a lot. And the juju is changing because you guys are putting energy into her. You're showing her attention again, and she's waking up, mate. She's waking up.
It's almost like you're whispering like sweet nothings to your missus, hey, on the pillow. It's like, she's waking up. You just get a slap across the face, like, fuck off.
I would definitely get a slap across the face if I said that.
Oh, no. I've done it in weird dreams. My missus is like, what the fuck were you talking about last time? I'm like, was I dreaming? And was I really just whispering, or was I talking to you? Anyway, that's not fair. All right, but considering this is an episode of Comp Talk, we've spoken about the Australian bodyboarding scene. We've spoken about the Shark Island Challenge coming up, Team Challenge. We've crossed a lot of different bridges, but it's now time to cross the bridge of the IBC. And, bro, man, 2024 Taguzut. Moroccan Bay Pro, it was something different. It was something refreshing. I mean, they probably didn't get the biggest anchor point they were really desiring. And I know I've been to Morocco and spent a little bit of time there in a van over a 2 week period. Great part of the world and can get bombarded with a lot of swells. But I think it needs to be pretty macking for high-performance bodyboarding to go down there. Not saying it didn't go down in this comp. I think everyone did the best they could with the conditions they were given. But you would have loved to seen some 10-foot pits, some drainers, and then possibly a different set of maneuvers put into place. Because I know this has really ticked you off, Coops, and you know we'll discuss it at length. The repertoire of moves that are being thrown out in these comps and just how everyone's going straight to the backflip knowing that they're going to be rewarded anywhere between a 6.5 to an 8. Like, what's your opinion on that, sir?
Yeah, it's getting very boring, eh? Like, we've talked about it. Everyone talks about it. it's happened for a long time and it just doesn't get resolved. I feel like I was thinking about this the other day, like in, I think it was around 2010 on the ASB at the time. What's his name? Jadson Andre beat Slater at in Brazil, and he had the air reverses on lock. Like everyone was like, oh, this kid is killing it. And every single wave he did an air reverse and he won. And Slater was just doing his thing, like, and he got to the final. And so Slater was in the final next to Jadson Andre, who was really young at the time, did a couple of flick reverses and he won. And I think after that, honestly, Brazil blew up in surfing, and there was air reverses in every single contest. And it was kind of like, oh my God, like, okay, this is what we're seeing now. We're just seeing air reverses all the time. And then the judges pulled it in. So when they saw an average air reverse, they didn't reward it. And they see two on one wave and they didn't reward it. They rewarded the fucking big, clean, out of the bowl ones, which they still do, especially on the backhand and the forehand. But all the average ones were just basically like, okay, that was just another turn. And they solved it because then someone like Ethan Ewan comes in. I know it's a bodyboard that we're talking about, but Ethan Ewan comes back in with the rail surfing and they rewarded it, right? So in bodyboarding and the judging, in my opinion, they still haven't fixed that because you're in Morocco. I understand that the backflip's going to be the best explosive maneuver that you can do, but there was a lot of backflips to bog fucking spins, man, like terrible bog spins. And it was, mate, if Andrew Lester, Damien King, bit of fucking Aussiness was there, they would have fucking schooled them, mate. Like, they would have done backflips. They would have been doing everything else too. And they would have had to have scored it because they didn't see it in this contest. All they saw was just backflips, got the odd roll. It was so repetitive that it was like, oh my God, like the whole point of going there was to see different lines being drawn, different spins, different, was surfing in the pocket, trying to get pitted. And we saw nothing of it, in my opinion.
I totally agree, man. And it backs up your point massively. Jeremy, again, I'm very bad at pronouncing European and South American names, but he was a revelation in the comp. He made it all the way to the semifinals, I'm pretty sure. Yep, semifinals, lost to the eventual competition winner, Gabriel Braga, who was, you know, on an absolute tear. But again, he said in his post-heat interview after beating Dave Hubbard, 10 times world champion, DK champion, that, right, he was like, I need to go out there and go big. I knew if I did a backflip on the first section of the wave in the most critical part that I could have scored a 7 or an 8. And on my second attempt, I got an 8. And then that put him in the lead. Dave caught up with like a 7 or something. And then he got a 6 after that. And it was for Jeremy to get a 6 in the end. And I think he did another backflip. And it was the same sort of thing, you know what I mean? Like, he knew already, cemented in his mind, that the judges were going to reward that move on a point break, where if you came down, as you just mentioned about Damien King coming straight down to the pocket, even Tanner McDaniel, straight down, boom, spin in, you know, tube right. I understand on this given day, especially on the finals day, it wasn't that big. You're looking at kind of 4, maybe 5 foot waves at times, and it didn't offer that much opportunity when it did come to the barrel, but there was no point of difference. There was no, you know, big open face carves down to a tight spin, then to a big looping roll, and then maybe do a backflip at the end or whatever. Like, I mean, you know, it's all circumstantial, but at the same time, you watched Amide Soliveres, like, you know, ripping, but like was awarded for one straight backflip in the final, a 7 point something or an 8.26, I think. And then Gabriel Braga, you know, we spoke about this off air.
I think he got a 9.
I got a 9, sorry, a 9. Yeah. And then they had to up the scale for Gabriel Braga in the last 3 minutes, steal it with 2 backflips. And don't get me wrong, they were great backflips. But a 10-point ride, man, for like 2 backflips, when you think about what could be done on that wave and how it could have been surfed, I just thought it was good bodyboarding, and they were surfing at a high standard. But I think it all comes back to the judging, as you stated, and something needs to change because it was a little bit boring.
Yeah, like no disrespect to the riders, because they were just doing what was scoring. Like, I would have done the same thing. The smart riders, in my opinion. The problem was is the criteria that, like, no one kind of went outside the square of that, because they're probably, like, I mean, backflips, they're not that hard. Like, I don't want to say that, like, I can do them better than anyone, but there's way harder maneuvers. Like, a lot of maneuvers are harder, and no one does them. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, why are we stuck on the maneuver after a roll, really? So you got a roll, and then I reckon you do an ARS or a backflip, and then, like, no one's doing reverses out of the bowl, or you never see an air fall, whatever, or even, like you said before, like, you know, get a pit to a pocket spin to a, and then a flip out or something. That, now we're talking, you know what I mean?
Yeah, because you've linked up with flow, and you've linked up exactly. with critical surfing, where it's not just going for the first section of the wave and knowing that the judges want X, Y, and Z. It kind of, yeah, it makes repetitive bodyboarding, robotic bodyboarding, and it makes it kind of takes the flair out of the heat. And talking about some flair in the heat, and talking about flair online, didn't Jacob Romero unload on his 5.5 given to him when he had, like, I think 30 seconds or a minute left in the heat, needed a score. Was it a 6.5 or 7 that he required?
I think so.
And
right. So did you realize – I actually didn't realize. So I'm going to admit, I didn't watch the heat. There's a lot of heats that I didn't see, so maybe someone was doing air reverses out of the bowl, so I apologize. But – from what I saw, it was just backflips. But did you know the heat Jacob was in had Amori and Biram, who was the local? So that was a stacked heat. I would go back and watch it. It's just been a little bit hard to kind of navigate this website for this contest. But it's hard to make a comment. Like, he put it on his Instagram, he was blowing up. It's hard to make.
I can see it both ways. I can see it both ways. I mean, yeah. I can see that some people would have been not so impressed, because the aerial maneuver seemed like he, at the start of the wave, on a fairly solid set, kind of forced it a bit and maybe made it look better than what it possibly was with his projection. But that also feeds into the camp of, like, Jacob is an unbelievable aerialist, and he can make, just, you know, he can make apple pie out of fucking a dog's breakfast, you know what I mean? So, like, he definitely has the skills to do it. I think what really put people off after two was the two spins, the forward spins, where you were kind of like, bro, like, that didn't seem like it really was thought out, or like maximizing the way as possible. Like, again, to me, if you're going to get critical, come back into the wave, maybe try and milk, like, some roll off a crumbling lip coming out, get tighter into the pocket, bash a reverse off the end or something. But, like, he didn't seem that interested after the move that he did. And it almost felt like, watching back on the footage, he was sign seal delivered on that ARS flip, whatever you like to call it, being the maneuver to get the score. I can see both ways, but I can also see how it wasn't awarded, especially thinking about the scale of the heat, having Amore and Ibrahim in there. You know what I mean? Like, bruh,
for the score that he needed, and then watching it on Instagram, like, it kind of looked like he got it. It, to me, because it wasn't only a small score, so it was like, oh, that was only a little. But you can't compare it to the rest, to the other boys' sixes as well, so you have to watch the whole thing. But in my opinion, the criteria should have been set at the beginning of that contest. As soon as they moved it to anchor point, it should have been like, this is what's going to score, and then you go down the list. So if you're going to do one explosive maneuver, okay, yep, that's going to be, like, in the sevens. But if you want to capitalize on into the 10-point range, you need to utilize the whole wave. And that's why you're at anchor point. it's a big long wave. Like, use the whole thing and show your skills that you can maintain your speed all the way down the line while doing massive maneuvers. And that would have separated so many people, mate, because they're just fanging down the line and doing a backy, and then they're losing all their speed. Where, you, like, mate, if you had seen Lester out there, mate, it would have been amazing. He would have schooled him, I'm telling you. 100%.
Yeah, no, totally agree. I think it was, again, judges' criteria, athletes were just doing what they needed to do, and it probably just, you know, eventuated into having a repetitive sort of structure of all the heats. But again, hats off to the IBC, taking to a place in the world that, you know, hasn't had an international comp like that. You know, you definitely saw, like, just some crazy talent coming out of the woodwork there in the land of Morocco, like the country of Morocco. Like, a lot of the locals got a run in an international event. You had the government heavily behind it, funding it. So it was really good to see strengthening relationships there from, you know, a world tour aspect into the future. And if you do nail a comp there, like, you nail a comp. If you got a macking Atlantic swell that just lit up that place, like, you're going to have a great competition, man. But shout out to the women's final two, man. It was really cool to see Luna Hardman, just pushing it really, really intensely to Sari O'Hara there with just her previous year being, you know, the junior world champion, and then to come up to the women's open event and go all the way to the final here in Morocco was a breath of fresh air. And you could really see Sari was kind of unfazed during the whole comp leading up to that final, and was pushed hard by Luna in that final. So a little bit of heat there, and I'm sure that rivalry is going to develop over the 2024 season.
For sure. Yeah, the girls are surfing sick. The it's very competitive. Joanna Schenka from Portugal, former world champion, she went to the contest, which was cool. She's always amazing to watch. Very competitive. The waves were cow shit, man. Like, they were fucked. Like, until the last day, it was fucked. That wave, like Cronulla Point, I mean, you can run the Shark Island Challenge at Cronulla Point, really, if you were going to have an IBC comp here. Cronulla Point would be better than that, wouldn't it?
Oh, fuck. Maybe, yeah. Oh, I mean, on its day, you'd probably get a little bit more shape on the inside compared to what we saw there. It barely even offered up a barrel at Anchor Point at times. But you do know that, like, Anchor Point can get proper. Like, you've watched all the Torren Martin footage. We've seen the Pierre Tender footage out there. I mean, don't know if that was exactly at Anchor Point, but definitely a Moroccan point break that was just barreling off its teeth. Like, I think it's a really cool initiative, and it's taking bodyboarding to a different part of the world, which you're not going to regularly see it at. Yeah, I guess it's just a gamble with the wave and the conditions you get.
Yeah. I just think that these contests are too big. There's too many people. It's obviously, that's how you're going to finance an event, and I get it. But they did get the best waves for the contest on the last day. I get that. So that was good. The last day was definitely the best because the wind wasn't up. But because there's so many people, the events go for so long. Oh, my God. There's so many rounds. Like, it's crazy how many rounds there are. So it's going to, I don't know, that's just my opinion, that they're more like amazing events. I don't see it as a world tour is the best 24 riders going against each other, building, and then you get the top six going neck and neck for the world title. It just doesn't feel like that on these tours on these world tour events at the moment, because they're just massive local events that a couple of internationals come to. And it's amazing to have local events in local areas. It's just like having a huge club comp in my opinion. But, like,
what would you reckon?
Do you know what I mean? Like, there's no one from our side of the world even going. Like,
dude, I totally agree. And I think going back to our earlier conversation in the potty about the grassroots boot comps, you know, that you've just started with Cold Coast Bodyboarding, that's going to be where that hopefully does, you know, start a fire again, and we start to, you know, like ignite a spark, so to speak, and then start a fire and people's bellies to get over there and compete in these comps, because they'll have a stepping stone to get there. But yeah, I mean, at this current stage, it does seem like they're definitely trying, and I like the initiative. I like the different viewpoints. There's things you change, but at least there is a world tour going at the moment. And, you know, it's televised, it's out there, they're reporting on it. You know, it's in parts of the world that you want to see. There's probably in some parts of the world you don't want to see. But putting it back to you, Coops, if you were director of the IBC and we were going to come to Australia,
do I get punched in the face?
Yeah. Look, the Moises, the Silver Brothers are out of the question. Your cheeks and your face are safe, bruh.
I'm in.
So where would you like to see one held in Australia?
Well, I would love the Shark Island Challenge to be, but, you know, we're not having eight rounds. Like, simple
that's
as that.
The problem.
Yeah, no, but that's the way it should be. So, like, that's not a problem. You know what I mean? Like, you just get the best 25 riders like you're going to, and you'll have a world tour winner at the end. As simple as that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it does condense, like, I mean, it does inflate, sorry, budgets and kind of condense waiting periods and whatever. But say if there was going to, and I agree, Shark Island's a great location if you can make it happen, but where else in Australia would you want to see, you know, like, for example, like, would you ever see, because every time people talk about D-Bar and the comps they've had up there, I know it's a beach break. I know it doesn't represent a slab like Australia is kind of noted for in the world stage of boog waves, but could you see that foreseeably going ahead up in the Goldie? Well, up northern New South Wales, sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, like, let's, like, you think about some of the events. So Arica's not on this year, so that's a bummer. But that's and the Fronton King are that's the benchmark. Like, that's where it's at. But then you've got a whole lot of other events that do not get up there. So in Australia, we've got these amazing waves, but to have an event where you've got millions of riders, which, you know, that would be sick for Australia, so we can have a whole bunch of our riders in there like Morocco did. You probably would have to revert to somewhere like D-Bar.
Because let's put it this way, like, look at Sintra. You take Sintra off.
Yeah, well, exactly.
And you put D-Bar on. And in my opinion, surfing both locations, not as much in Sintra, but I've sampled it, more at D-Bar. The way I see those two waves, D-Bar is by far the more consistent and punchier wave.
Oh, it would be a sick event, really. Like, especially if sand. So, like, if their banks were good, which we can't control, but that beach is messed up. Like, it's just in the middle of it. It'd be just an amazing event, wouldn't it? Because every time you talk about everywhere else, it becomes tricky. Maybe Gas Bay in WA would be cool, because that's pretty versatile. It's got a left and a right. It's pretty consistent. You know, and then people go, say, well, why don't we have it at the box? It'd be so hard to have a comp at the box.
That's almost like a Shark Island thing.
100%. Like, tides, you know, logistics of it, it'd be a nightmare. Like the South Coast wedge reef that they have had a comp at, that'd be great, but the logistics would be very difficult. You could have an all-day event there, as long as the wind doesn't kill it, but that would be difficult. Wouldn't you agree? Obviously, they have done it, but to have a big event there more than one day, that's going to change it.
Well, let's put it this way. Like, how are you going to get a structure up on that said headland, and how are you going to access the land from, you know, the farmer's back paddock that you've got to go through with a 4B to even try and get through there, which is pretty much bog road for throwing.
No, that's too hard.
It's too hard.
I mean, for more than one day, it's already out, isn't it?
For sure. But, you know, you're right. That is the performance wave that could really skyrocket bodyboarding into the astral realms. Like, it's a crazy wave. Again, I guess having lowish tides and making sure that, like, you don't, like, you can run through the whole day for sure. But, yeah, like, that's like a front on, man. You know what I mean? Like, that's bowls galore and, like, just sick bodyboarding held there.
I mean, that hands down, the best event in Australia would be Blackrock. 1,000%.
Oh,
it breaks all day long.
Barrah. It's
consistent as wildcard Morgan Brown. Like, it would just be so good.
Let's get Morgs on the blower. Let's get him in on the potty and let's just twist him arm and say, brother, national parks pass or not, can we please come in and set up for the day? Like, come on, bro. Is there anything that we can do to make I would never do that. Because first and foremost, like, there has been comms held there. It's been held by all the South Coast crew. And I remember watching footage of them in some of Katie's and Dobbo's movies. And even the Quinns putting a couple of movies out, they had footage, Adam and Russ Quinn, they had footage from the bay down there. And fuck, man, you could run that, especially on, like, you know, one of those days where you get that kind of lightish wind in the morning, going to that favor wind in the afternoon, knowing that it's going to be kicking in. Like, the tide definitely changes it, but not to a certain extent where you need to stop running. Like, it would be an all-day affair.
It's not a secret spot, so we're not ruining it. It gets so crowded anyway, so, like, it doesn't change anything really. You'll upset some locals for sure, but you probably do that no matter where you go in the world. Did you know that when they used to run that many moons ago, that was actually a teams event?
Really?
Yeah, so you're a part of a team and you surfed for your team.
Sick. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Dak told me the other day and he showed me some photos and he said, mate, it's fucking pumping. So he said he went in two. He said one of them was pumping and the other one was shit. But still, like, epic. Like, so sick.
Oh, so, man. And really, like, you could just have, like, a 2 to 3 week window. And, I mean,
easy.
You're bound to get a day in there for sure.
Can you imagine Tanner versus Tristan in the final out there, like what they'd be doing and saying to them, listen, you can do backflips, but if you do reverses out of the bowl, you're going to get scored higher. And just boom, air 100%. Forward, you're going to get scored even higher. Boom. Like, can you imagine?
Oh, mate, psycho, invert air reverses, inverses just left, right, and center. Like,
oh, my God.
Combos they'd be going down with, man. Like, it'd just be even Pierre out there, man. Like, holy fuck.
Yeah. When did
you watch Winnie? Like, get Winnie back out there. The Winnie and BP days. The footage you'd see that
comes
out.
BP.
Oh,
psycho. BP's pretty much got a, like, shrine on the rocks up there. Like, he's like everyone's got a bow to him when he walks around the corner. Like,
dude.
I reckon he'd win.
Mate, 100%. I can just remember that shrine being one of his old worn-out coffee thermoses, you know what I mean, that just would sit there from, like, one of the sessions. He'd come down from 4 a.m. in the morning, he'd paddle out. He'd have about 20 standard long blacks in that thing, drinking coffee all day, and he would be, you know, a shadow and a figure of his former self when he walked out of there, because he would have lost 5 kilos in sweat and grit and just all the fucking air reverses and backflips that he did on those given sessions, man, were insane. I think I was talking to someone the other day and they mentioned BP and they were like, get him back down to Blackrock. The last time I was there, I counted, it was Adam Smith from Cronulla. The last time I was there, I counted 20 air reverses and BP and he landed them all.
Yeah, freak. I don't know about you. I just get a little bit nervous when he was around because you just, like, he's just such a lord. And it was always like, if he's paddling back out, I was like, oh, I'm going to fuck this one. And I always did when he was there. I was okay when he was out the back and couldn't see my wave. But he's just, because he's just so good, that it was like, oh my God, there's Ben.
And
you'd hear him too. He'd be like, yeah!
Oh, I was just about to say, how's the energy he would bring to the lineup? Like, you'd, I remember the one day at Pipe, it was a classic afternoon, pump and trade winds for the East Coast in summer, and he was just, he was at full throttle with his vocals, just blasting anything and everything that came to his mind. He must have had those, all those 20 long blacks in that thermos all at once. And, mate, like, the energy that he brought to the lineup, I have still not seen it match to this day. It was just mind-boggling. You didn't know whether or not to take him seriously. Is he having a conniption? Is he having a stroke? Is he just that stoked that he's just, like, you know, out of his mind with pure joy and happiness? And I think it's the latter. He was just, he enjoyed bodyboarding, and still to this day he does, but just in his prime, fuck, man, that's incredible to watch.
No, it was, and it was amazing to be around, because it would, you'd be, how could you be down with somebody that's so up? It's impossible, because you'd be just like, oh yeah, like this is what we're here for, you know what I mean? Like, and that's what he was thinking. He was just like, yeah, it just doesn't get any better than this, boys. What are you whinging about? Let's go.
Yeah.
And that's what Bergen's about, mate. So that's my pick, mate. And look, to be honest, that's probably not going to happen. That was a great little fantasy we just had. But realistically, we're probably going back to D-Bar. So
Yeah. Look, we probably are. There's a fair few politics down there in the Bay, and I know it's a lot harder to run a comp in a national park than it is just in a normal council area. So fuck it. But, you know, if anyone is listening out there in the Bay and they want to put their hand up and make something happen, we definitely wouldn't say no to that possibly going in the future. But I think we've,
what about Sub Rock?
Fuck Coops, yeah for sure. Again, a little bit tide dependent, but
if you had the
right tide, like nothing bigger than, you know, the right
what
swell,
about you,
like,
what about you had a comp in Cronulla, so it's called the Cronulla Pro, and you got Cape, Suck Rock, Cape, Suck Rock, Shark Island, Cabbage Patch, and the Mousetrap.
All and maybe one. Reef Power.
Maybe Reef Power. Or maybe even the Alley. Yeah, and they'll pump a bit of sand and Lester comes out of the shadows.
Oi, if, like, I'm telling you right now, if Cronulla employed the sand pumping system that happens up on the Tweed where you can pump from Fingal and behind Froggies, and when Rabbit Bartholomew just tells the cunts to throw it on when a subly swell's coming and just fills in every nook and cranny with sand, if that happened in Cronulla from out at the Port Hacking, holy shit, you would see good beaches again, and you might even see the reefs improve too, because there's something about the way that sand just filters in and naturally, because, you know, for example, the Alley was called the Alley because it always had a rip running out on the between the pool and the actual left-hand bank itself when that stormwater drain was open, because it was a natural creek and it always used to run out there, you know what I mean? Now that stormwater drain's been closed off, when it rains, it doesn't get that flush out, so the banks don't get manicured by water ripping out, doesn't create a perfect rip bowl, just has blotches of sand here and there, and then they don't sand dredge the river every 10 years. It just stays a fucking hole in the ground, and there's been months at a time where waves haven't broken at the fucking Alley because with the lack of sand. So, like, you know, I'm going on a rant here, but something needs to fucking change. We need to get that infrastructure going, because Cronulla is a registered national surfing heritage spot. Like, it's getting treated like,
well, you kill two birds with one stone doing those things, don't you? Pumping the sand around, and like, you're helping the other side, aren't you? Is that right?
Yeah, but the problem is it's to get the pollies to put their hand in their back pocket of their own community, in which they're taking money out of them from their own corporate interest, and put it back into something that's not going to give them gratification and, you know, community gratitude from the get-go, and they're not going to get paid for it. That's the hardest thing. Like, I know Mark Speakerman and what's his name? Not Mark Speakerman. There's another... there's an absolute local lord who's got like a son who lives up in Byron Bay now. He's a longboarder, but he's been campaigning for this system to be put in for years, because it costs us X amount of money to dredge the Port Hacking every 5 or 10 years or whatever it is. But if you have a permanent pipe there that pumped it out, it would allow a lot more easy access for boats in and out, for any sort of recreational use and all that kind of jazz, but just put sand back into our beaches, and with our sand dunes and all that sort of beach regeneration stuff wouldn't have to occur as much. And it just would, you know, bring the sand hills back, man. Like, we mine so much of our sand out. It's just like, all we need to do is just help, give it a little helping hand, like a little tap on the bottom, and we'd be sweet.
Oh, mate, it'd be amazing. Because I'll tell you what, Ali Ripoll used to be amazing.
Let's fucking broke every single day, 365 days a year, unless it was 20 foot. Like, it was always breaking.
Well, let's put it this way. Andrew Lester cut his teeth out there. Kirk Flinoff cut his teeth out there, learned how to do their reverse on lock, like Jaddy at the time. Like, there were so many rats coming out of that place that were surfing so good.
I know. Well, there you go, mate. There's your next mission after the Shark Island Challenge is a success. You're the voice of bodyboarding at the moment, so maybe you could stand up.
No, mate, thank you for the comment. But I think after this Island Challenge, I'll be taking a little bit of a hiatus and a break. I'm hoping to go to the desert for months at a time, even with a newborn here, leave it here with Lauren and the other kid and just fuck off for 6 weeks and possibly never return, because everyone listening out there, it's going to be a great comp and I'm very excited for it to go ahead in 2024. But this work behind the scenes, even with three people doing it, Mark, Sam and myself, fuck, when you're running a full-time job and family and then a podcast and everything else we're doing, much like we're all very busy in life. I'm not trying to harp on about that, but man, people do not realize how much effort goes into a comp. You obviously do, Coops. You guys are running the Gold Coast bodyboarding scene, but it's scaled down a bit, man. But trust me, it's still fucking work. It's still networking. It's still communicating. It's still putting up Instagram posts. It's still constantly being on your phone and doing stuff that's just monotonous. And it's all going to be worth it, but holy fuck, like, it's a lot of work.
Yeah, I do understand, because I talk to Sadler a lot and we liaise a bit about this, that and the other. I think I'm the fourth wheel in just talking about things, and it's crazy what you guys have done, man. No one understands. Anyone that goes, oh, when do you do this, when do you do that, it's fucking so hard to do. Ask Paul Vanderboom, he'll tell you. He'll be like, you know, people ask him about things all the time. Well, you know, Australian tours, this, that and the other. It's like, yeah, well, fucking come and help, mate. Like, it's not that easy. So
yeah, all hands on deck. Thanks, appreciate it, bro. And thanks for coming on another edition of Comp Talk and hosting it out with me, bro. We fucking covered some good shit today, and it was good to talk about Australian boog and where it's at, because it seems like 2024 is kind of the turning point. Would you agree?
It is for us, mate. It is for us. It is for Australia.
East Coast, get it up. Wear it on your sleeve. Harden your sleeve. Thanks for coming on, bro, and I'll see you on the next edition.
Thanks for having, brother. Thanks for having me. It's time to go to bed. Thanks, buddy.
Oh, great, bro. All right. Night, bro.
See you, bro.